Good evening. You're listening to special election coverage on KRBD Ketchikan. My name's Layla Carey, and for the next hour, we'll be talking with candidates for the Ketchikan City Council. There are three candidates vying for 2 3-year terms on the council. They are incumbents Dick Koos and Matt Olson and challenger Judy Zenge. This is a call-in show, but before we open up the phone lines, each candidate will have an opportunity to make an opening statement. Let's start with Mr. Koos. Tell us about yourself and why you're running.
Thank you, Layla. A little bit about myself. I guess I've been on the city council now. This is the end of the second term. I've been in Ketchikan for about 33 years. All of my immediate family's here, including down to 2 great-granddaughters. And I guess the reason I'm running is to continue to do what I've been doing, and that's questioning the city budget, what we do, and trying to keep everything kind of on an even keel and not growing the government, if you want to put it that way. Keeping the infrastructure in good condition, talking about streets and water and sewer, the medical center that we need to rebuild, and then need to continue cooperation with the borough, because I have a feeling we're not going to put these two governments together real quick until the people get ready, but we need to work together. But I'm just looking for people to look at what I've done in the past and what I think I can do in the future, and it'll be about the same.
Thank you very much. And Judy Zenge.
I'm Judy Zenge. I'm a longtime resident of Ketchikan. I'm married to a hometown guy. I have 2 boys. I'm running because I really believe that I can do the job and help make a difference. I believe in our community. I think we have a great community. I look forward to serving.
Okay, thank you very much. And Matt Olson. Oh,
thank you, Layla, and thanks for doing this again. It's always a pleasure to be here, and it's good to be here with Dick and Judy. I'm running mostly just because it's a little bit selfish. I really, really enjoy serving. It's something that I was raised to do. And enjoying the process is half the battle, I think, of showing up. Because if you enjoy it, you put your heart and soul into it. The other aspect of why I'm running is because, I grew up here. I remember the vitality that our community was in. And I have 2 young children. My wife and I decided to raise our children here in this community. And in doing so, we also want our community to thrive and have a good future. A future that if our children decide to, they can come back to. And so being involved, I'm proud of the fact that I'm able to sit there and help and shape our community and make sure that we have a sound economic and infrastructure, or economic future and a sound infrastructure so that our community can be there for our children.
Thank you very much. And this is a call-in show, so if you have questions for your council candidates, please call 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Now, the borough and city governments are going through yet another series of public disputes. What is your solution for that ongoing contentious relationship? And we'll start with Matt Olson.
I don't think it's that contentious. I mean, we're a community of 14,000 people. We're not 6 degrees of separation. We're about 2 or 3 with everyone in this town. So we're just a gigantic family. And we've done a lot of good together. The borough and the city have worked together on Whitman Lake. We worked together on the drive down ramp. We've worked together on several other projects. There are going to be times when you're going to have issues that you disagree on. And you have to sit there and work together. You can't draw lines in the sand. And the most important part is the Cooperative Relations Committee. As long as things are getting talked about there, as long as the two groups are still talking and no one's drawing that line on the sand and refusing to come across it, then everything's fine. And I think that's happening. We just have to remember that we have a community relation. We have that committee there, and it's there for us to discuss and talk. And things get put on there, and they can't be ignored. And we have to discuss them. We have to discuss them openly and civilly. And I think we do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Mr. Koos?
Yeah. I'm like Matt. I don't think it's as bad as it, let's say, some people like to make it out to be. I believe we have in the past. We've worked on a lot of things. Matt mentioned them, the drive-down ramp, Whitman Lake. Just there's a whole bunch of things. We've settled some issues. And I think the solution for it now is that we depend upon the Cooperative Relationship Committee for a while to discuss some of them, and maybe it's time for us to have a joint meeting of the two bodies and get some of this ironed out across the table instead of we pitch it to the committee and then we pitch it back to the managers, and it's time for us to face-to-face it and have a conversation about it. But I think it can be worked out, and I think even the two that are contentious are getting closer than what we think.
Thank you. And Judy Zenge, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you.
I agree with that. I think that we just need to keep talking. Conversation is important. I like the idea of both bodies getting together. I think that would be a great idea. I hear a lot of it, you know, in the community, but I really don't think it's as bad as people say. I think that they're working hard. I think the people on that community really care about government getting along, and they're doing the very best that they can. Yes, there's going to be disputes. That's in anything. And I think as long as the two parties are willing to sit down and talk respectfully to each other, you know, it's going to sort itself out.
Okay, thank you very much. And one of the issues that has not yet been resolved is the issue of library funding. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about library operations funding and how the borough and city can get together on that topic. I will be asking separately about the library bond debt issue, so if you could hold off on that one for just a bit. And we'll start off with Judy Zenge.
I really don't know much about the operation funding for the library. That's not something that I've looked into. Just having sat in on one of the Cooperative Relations Committee meetings, I don't have a full understanding of why they can't come to some sort of agreement. I really don't know much about it at this time, but I am looking into it. It's on my list, my very long list.
Thank you. And Matt Olson.
The library funding issue for operational budget is one that goes back, I mean, back to my childhood. I can remember growing up in the borough out at Point Higgins where we had to pay, I can't remember what it was, $25 or $30 per individual to use a library because the library was a city entity. And it still is. But somewhere along the line, and again, it occurred when I was a child, so I'm not sure when this happened. But they came up with the arrangement for the borough residents or the borough government to help with the cost of the library because the entire community was using it. And it's people that live outside the city who then there was and they voted on it and they got the special assessment. The original calculation, as I understand it, was based on property value. So every property in the borough was included in the borough's portion of the payment and how it worked out. So, and that included even properties that weren't resided on the properties out on Gravina. And a couple of years ago, it was 2009, 2010, right after I got on there, they changed it from the assessment tax, using assessment, to change it over to population. And what that did is it reduced it a little bit. And reduced it for the residents in the borough, which probably was a pretty fair thing to do if it's we're talking about users. But when you look at that operation, I think it's very important that that because it is a city entity, because people in the borough use it, and this is something that's just like Parks and Recreation from the late 80s and 90s, where borough residents had to come in and pay, where the city residents didn't as much. It's something that we need to discuss a little more. I agree with the fact that the borough, if you live in the borough outside a city, that you have to pay a portion because everyone needs to kick in for this, and it's more of a community-wide asset. And I think we need to continue with this program. But, you know, maybe the discussion has come where this is something that we need to talk about, making it an area-wide power.
Okay, and Mr. Coos.
Well, it's been working. And somebody decided it wasn't working, I guess, right. So, I think it's where the two bodies need to sit down and talk about this a little bit. I think we'll come to the conclusion that probably based on population the way it is now is a fair way to do it because it's basically not who uses it, it's availability. It's available to every person in the borough. And it makes sense. It was working, and I think something else triggered it. And whenever you ask us that next question, I think we'll figure out what triggered this issue. But to me, it's working. We just need to keep moving and quit arguing.
Okay, thank you very much. And on to the next question. Regarding debt from the library bonds, is that something that should be considered part of operations expense? And was there a better way the city could have approached the borough on that topic as far as helping to pay for that? And this time we will start with Mr. Olson.
I approach this whole issue as that I would if I was a business owner. If I was a business owner and I just went and made a huge capital investment, I'm going to have to recoup those costs somehow. And I'm going to recoup them through my customers. And so I think that it's perfectly legitimate to sit there and throw that debt payment into the operations budget, because you would do that if you were a business owner or if whatever entity you are. And it should be talked about. The problem that I was having is I had been trying to get this to be talked about for more than a year, and it kept getting put off. And I may have triggered some of this discussion, but the greatest thing that I'm happy about is it is finally getting discussed. We had community-wide support for the library. We had a community-wide discussion for the library. When it came around to building the building that we have, it was not a city resident-only committee. It was the entire community. And I'm proud of that. I was on that building committee, and we worked hard, and we listened to every input. If we hadn't done that, I don't think we'd have the building we have today. And I don't think we would have the resource that we have today. And so in looking at it that way, and that's how I approach it, I think the discussion has to happen. We've been trying to have it happen, and I did make the motion, and it forced the issue. And again, I'm glad it forced the issue, because we're finally able to have a discussion about it.
And Judy Zenge.
Well, I certainly think we have to have the discussion. My concern is that after attending that meeting, I walked away thinking, what's going to get cut if they don't agree to put money towards the library? What services will be cut? And I'm worried about that. So I really hope that they continue having the discussion and they reach some agreement that we all can live with.
And Mr. Coos.
It's time to quit talking and start doing it, doing something about it. And I guess my opinion is that the bond issue being brought up at this point in time is what caused the problem with funding the operations. It triggered it. So I'll poke at you, you poke at me. But in my own opinion, you know, we had, Matt said we tried to talk about this when we were started to doing the library. There was nobody bit on the borough kicking into the bonding. And so to me, it was a done issue. It was done. And we left it alone. And by the same token, my personal opinion is that the people living outside the city limits probably pay 95% of their property or city sales taxes in town. They're paying for it. So, hey, we're all okay. Let's just move forward. It's going to get paid for, and it's done. And we can keep discussing it, but it's not going to do anything except cause more frustration, and we're not going to get anywhere.
Okay, and Matt Olson, you had a comment on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Dick's statement about the people in the borough shopping in the city, it's completely and totally accurate. The only reason that this is a discussion that we're having community-wide is because we have the agreement with the borough that says that there will be shared, it's some form of sharing in terms of costs for the library. There's no other entity with the city where we have that type of agreement. And one of my issues with things, and one of the things that I really strive for on the council, is that you go into things trying not to muddy the waters. And I think this is one of the reasons I'm pushing this, is we need to get some resolution so that at least we know going forward and it's not sitting there in the background. It's important to have these discussions. And then whatever the resolution is, whether it turns out that the borough will kick in or whether it turns out the borough won't kick in, or you know, whatever that is, then we have had it, rather than have it sitting there in the background. And those are the things that make me nervous as a government employee, because I'm a teacher. It makes me really nervous when we don't have resolution there. It makes me really nervous sitting on the city council when we don't have complete and total answers.
Thank you. And the next question will go to Ms. Zenge first. Will the city need to approach the borough to help with bond debt for the hospital project as well if that ballot measure passes on Tuesday?
I don't know. I mean, I know that's probably not the answer you want to hear, but I really don't know. I guess I look at it and think, well, the folks in the borough are going to be using the hospital too. I don't know really how the process works when it comes to bonding. The thing that just as a citizen, I ask myself, why are we having the conversation about the library now? Why wasn't that set up in advance, that we would know what they would have to kick in and they would know what they had to kick in, and would we really need to have this conversation? So I don't know if we need to have the borough kick in, but I would think that would have been something we should have thought about beforehand.
Thank you. And Mr. Coos?
The answer to your question is no. We're not going to the borough to ask for supplemental. The way it's been presented to us is that the 1% sales tax that has been dedicated to the hospital will cover that $3 million bond. And so, very simply, no.
Thank you. And Mr. Olson?
There's no agreement in place now, and it just would not be appropriate or prudent for us to do that. To me, this is a non-issue. The appropriate place for us to go was to the state, and we've done that.
Thank you very much. That question had come up during a previous call-in show, I believe, so that's why I wanted to ask that. And the next question is, if the community were to try, yet again, to consolidate the local governments, how could we improve its chance for success? And this time we will start with Mr. Coos.
Well, that's one tough question. If you can tell me what 14,000 people would like to see. It might be just a thought to start with some type of survey to say, what would you like to see this government look like? Instead of taking, I'm going to say, a few of the elected people and some others that were probably more interested in making it work than the ones that were a little bit opposed to it. Because I'm not too sure that the right approach was taken the last time. And I'm not sure that people were really heard when they talked to that committee the last time. So I think we've got to get more involvement of the public and buy-in as we move forward to create a charter. And then flip the coin, because I won't bet which way the vote will go.
And Mr. Olson.
Wow. This is one of those, you know, I grew up in the borough, and my dad and I went round and round on this one over the years. It was one of the issues that we always disagreed on. I was always in favor of it, and he was always against it. And he was one of the guys that moved up here from Arizona, had a strong county government, and he swore left and right he would never have a government in place that he couldn't tell it what to do. He was not going to live anywhere where that government had assigned powers. And it just, that was his mantra. And, there's a strong element that feel that way, and rightfully so. I mean, that's why they moved here. And until we have more, until people either change their mind or move on, I don't think it's going to pass. And that's my personal opinion. Quite frankly, that's just one of the beauties of living in Ketchikan. It really is. That's our community in a nutshell. And as the state continues to push enlargements of boroughs, and as the state continues to really want us to expand and take over control of things, I can see people continuing to move here that don't want to have borough or a large government representation. And until they're convinced, we're just not going to have it. So I personally support it. I don't think there's much that we can do in order to get that to convince people, unless the huge majority of people move to town that feel that consolidation is the way, or unification.
And Ms. Zenge.
Although the folks that I've talked to, they all say, you know, they love consolidation. They want to have one government. I don't think anyone really knows what that looks like right now. And I think that we need to spend more time talking to the people and finding out what that means to them, and then perhaps move forward with that. But I think right now we just need to learn to get along as two governments before we try to move forward as one government.
Oh, and Mr. Coos has a response.
Comment, not rebuttal, but, you know, down south, city, county, city, borough, it works. And I think it's a matter of us sitting down and getting along. So elect people that are willing to get along instead of willing to fight, if that's the way to put it. But we can get along if we'll just sit down and talk. And but maybe makes for some people, maybe it's more fun not getting along. I don't know. More fun getting along, really.
Thank you. And this is a call-in show, and so if you have questions for your council candidates, please call 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Now, every year, each government goes through its budget process, and it seems like every year more cuts are anticipated. With that in mind, what are your budget priorities for funding and for cutting? And this time we'll start with Mr. Coos.
You know, I really don't have a priority for cutting. I think the way we left it with the city manager this year was that we didn't want the budget to go up. You had to live with it. That means any salary increases or health insurance increases, for example, you have to eat them, in so many words. And we'll see what he comes up with. I think from the standpoint of how we're going to get there, I'm opposed to tax increases. There may be some need to be some increases in our water rate again, because I know we've jacked it up a lot of times, but still it's operating in the hole as the deficit, being supplemented by probably the telecommunications division, because they're making money. As far as where we cut, I think what we'll see is a long range plan in managing our infrastructure project, capital projects, to where they're just going to get spread out a little bit further, and we're going to probably have to fix the more important ones first rather than trying to fix a bunch of them early on, and because that's where a lot of the money is. And by doing that, I think we'll eliminate the need for, say, somebody thinking they're going to get laid off, because I don't think there's any intentions of anybody going away. It's managing those capital projects and other things that we spend on other than people. So, go from there.
Thank you. And Mr. Olson.
Well, my priorities aren't so much around having a zero-based budget. I think when you do a zero-based budget and then do as the city council has begun to do, we've added a few extra costs in there that didn't exist this year, that you set things up for cuts to happen that they're not just in the benefit of the community. I think our spending has to do two things. I think it has to keep our current service level, because I think the city government's pretty lean. And I think it also has to keep our current infrastructure updating process going. We've got infrastructure that is old in this town, and we deferred some of this maintenance for a long time. We're seeing examples of, you know, sewer pipes with the bottoms gone coming into us. And you sit there and you wonder, well, when's the next time going to come in when the, you know, Cliff Allen comes in and shows us a sewer pipe and a water pipe that have both had the bottom rot out and they're from the same street? And that's a public safety issue, public health issue. And I don't want to see that happen. we really have to continue to make sure that we have a long-term plan, and that's one of the things I strive for. And I haven't voted to have any tax increases because we keep bouncing around our long-term financial plan. And until we do, I can't see any tax increases coming. We have to continue, though, along the lines of keeping our current services and keeping this infrastructure going. If in the case that we do need to create extra revenue, I don't agree with property tax increases. I'm probably the opposite of Sam Bergeron. I think property tax increases hit the people that can't be hit the most, the hardest. And I agree more in a sales tax increase. But I think the sales tax increase should be something along the lines of a seasonal, something that we talked about and I proposed earlier on in the year, which would be to raise it a half a cent in the summer and decrease it a half a cent in the winter. If you think about it that way, just thinking about fuel oil, I would spend, about roughly to heat my home $50 to $70 less a year. In the summer, I'll spend a little more on other things, and it should work out. But we'll gain $800,000 to $900,000 with that off of tourist revenue. And I think we have to remember we're a tourist-based economy. A lot of places don't utilize their local tax base to pay for their services. Seattle's a great one for paying for that football stadium. So I don't think we need to raise taxes at this time, but I also don't want to hinder our government, hinder our community by saying zero-based because, and just to sum this up, if we do zero-based this year, we're 2% behind in terms of spending. If we do zero-based another year, about 4% behind in terms of spending. Then you really start getting in some heavy cuts. And then you're looking at infrastructure that you're not getting done and really creating problems. And I just don't think you can do that to a governmental agency and to your community.
Thank you. Ms. Zenge.
Well, I look forward to the budget process this year. I recognize that there's some difficult decisions and compromises to be made. I don't want to see layoffs. I don't want to see increases in taxes. I trust that the departments have set their priorities on the projects, and I'll be out asking questions of the different departments so that I have a better understanding of how it works. But the idea of laying off folks is not one that appeals to me, and taxes even less.
Thank you. And you all kind of touched on it, but if you could expand just a little bit, because it is an annual discussion, and the mill rate, I believe, did go up just a tad this year. So what about the mill rate? Would you raise it if you had to, in order to maintain services? And this time we'll start with Mr. Olson.
Wait. No, I I think I just answered this one. I think in our economy, in our community, it's not feasible for us to raise the mill rate. I think it's a much better, if we have to do any increases, that we apply it to sales tax, where we take full advantage of our economy, and especially the seasonal based and the tourism coming to town. I do not support any mill rate increase.
Mr. Coos?
No mill rate increase, period.
Thank you. Ms. Zenge.
No mill rate increase.
All right. Everyone's on the record now. And this, I want to remind everybody, this is a call-in show. And if you have questions for the council candidates, please call 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Now, we're always trying to get more money out of the state for infrastructure projects with varying success. Is there anything you can do as a council member to encourage more sympathy from state officials for local needs? And this time we'll start with Mr. Olson.
You know, I think our community does a really good job of raising funds to begin with. We have been blessed, especially with the city, with a staff that is really good at outlining why we need funding from the state. I think where we run into pitfalls is we've lost a little bit of influence up in state, and that's just a matter of how our delegation worked out this year in terms of losing a member. I think the other issue is that we also have a state government that's cutting their budget. And in terms of influencing that way, we just have to make sure that they know that we really need this down here. We have one of the older communities in the state and a lot of the some of the oldest infrastructure. I was personally really irritated that we only got $15 million from the state for our community hospital, which is actually a regional hospital and supports Wrangell, Metlakatla, most of Prince of Wales, and even people from Petersburg, as well as all the tourism that comes through here. And we have, in terms of that one issue alone, we're $5 million behind, in my opinion. And there are other things as well, and we just need to make sure that we keep pushing it. And I'll say it again, we're incredibly lucky with the money that we've gotten so far, and that's to the dedication of the staff and dedication of the council members that have gone out up there, up to Juneau, and lobbied for it. And we just have to continue to do that.
Ms. Zenge?
I think we need to continue to be persistent. I'm sorry. And we just have to work together and get those funds. Boy, this is really got people walking around me. As I learn more about this issue, then I'll be in a better position to address it. But I'm not familiar with how we actually go about getting and asking for funds from the state yet.
Thank you. Mr. Coos?
Yeah, I think the things we need to do are, one, keep a good lobbyist, and we do have one in Ray Matuszewski up there right now. The other one is, as Matt said, the council members and so forth that go up and lobby during the lobbying committee or lobbying trip, that really helps. The probably most important is that we present them with good, solid, I'm going to say, infrastructure projects. That means it creates something important in the community that can create jobs in the future. And I think they look solid at that. Talking to some of them the other day, Hydro, they were looking at, Hydro is an important thing for us, and they were looking positively, I think, at what we might do from the community. And so it's looking at good, solid infrastructure projects that can mean jobs in the future and not just frivolous things.
Thank you. And we do have a caller on the line. It's Mark. And Mark, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. The question is going to be, since the bridges or the ferries are going to be on inside the city limits, have you guys made preparations for, what plot of lands can be used for either the ferries and or where the bridge is or bridge might cross? Secondly of all, my question would be the fact that Ketchikan, we need these infrastructures very, very badly. And what is your avenue towards the state so you can get some input and output from the state so we can find out where we're at on the budget process? Thank you very much, sirs. I'll listen off the air.
Thank you, Mark. And this time we will start with Ms. Zenge.
I don't know enough about the bridge and where the lands have been picked for that to go, or the ferries. I don't know anything about that. I think that would be better served by our other two here.
Thank you. And Mr. Olson.
Well, my understanding, at least of the ferries, is that all the property already exists in state lands. When it comes to the state, there are... they'll have to take I think there's a few properties that they're looking at that they'll have to take from people, or not take, I'm sorry, reimburse them for the use of property or taking it for eminent domain. And that's just a matter of some of these if you have progress. The council has endorsed the ferry option at this point, which is the one that would utilize currently all property that's in state hands. In terms of the infrastructure, I think we answered that with the previous one. We just have to continue to go up and sell our community and our community's needs as best we can. And as long as we have, again, the dedication we have from staff and the dedication we have from City Council, I think we'll continue to receive stuff as long as we're presenting programs and infrastructure developments that we need to have.
Thank you. And Mr. Coos?
Yeah, I believe from the standpoint of the question, the location for the bridge, I'll say starting points and ending points and also the ferry terminals is probably built into the process. The state knows and has identified them. The bridges has been identified that way. I think from the standpoint of, I don't know whether his question was, are we going to have a bridge or not have a bridge, the borough did basically endorse a bridge option with ferries left in there. What they did is they didn't give up on it. And I'm going to be a little derogatory. The council gave up. It wasn't a unanimous vote, and so I'm the odd vote that says we need to keep bridges in play. We may not get them today, but it's always tomorrow. And it's like someone said, those who give up never get what they want. And so I don't give up very easy. Infrastructure, Matt said it. We'll just do the best we can with the state. And I'm not real sure what his question was about the budget process. But the state budget process basically starts with the governor's budget, and then it, which is in play, I think, right now, and that's why we did our capital projects. And then it'll go to the legislature, and they will clean it up.
Thank you very much. And we do have another caller on the line, and this is an anonymous caller. Are you there?
I am.
Oh. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I'm a borough resident, and I kind of keep up on the issues that the borough and the city are having, and I was wondering if your people could comment. I know the city's looking for the borough to give them a big block of money to help pay for the library. Now, I, as a borough resident, you know, I pay a millage to the library, and I didn't get to vote on the library. And I was wondering if you guys could comment on that, and kind of going along the same lines, you know, where they're talking about, you know, the budget issues, and you know, the city gives a lot of money to the nonprofits, and last year they gave money from KPU to the nonprofits, and me as a, you know, borough resident, you know, I may or may not support some of those nonprofits. I have no choice but to use KPU as my utility, and you know, I don't, you know, get a vote on you know, how they give away that money. And so I was wondering if your guys could comment on that. And I'll answer off the air.
Thank you. And this time we will start with Mr. Coos.
You rephrase the first question just a little bit. It had to deal with the library. I guess I'm not tracking on the his question.
Well, he's off the air now.
Okay.
So I believe what he was asking is why he, as somebody who lives outside of city limits, is paying for these projects when he didn't have a vote in them.
Really the only comment I can say, and a lot of people are concerned about why they have to do something when they don't get to vote. And that, unfortunately, is just one of those intricacies of having two governments with two geographical locations. And so I think if we could fix it and change the responsibilities, it would probably be something that we talk about. And consolidation is always an issue. Yes, he does pay for it, but that's been through an agreement that the borough and the city has had in order to provide that service and make it available to him. And I think, like Matt said, I think there was a lot of effort made to have anybody have input into the location and what went into the library. And we all didn't agree, and Matt knows that I didn't agree upon a lot of things on the library myself. But we've got a good library now, and so we need to move forward and support it. Okay, he had one more.
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits. Yes, we all give to the nonprofits, including the borough. We don't always agree upon which nonprofit gets money or how much, but it's an annual affair, and the city has established, a committee and an amount, and we will probably reestablish the amount at the committee, and people can participate in where it goes and how it's spent and who gets what.
And Mr. Olson?
Yeah, I think this is really similar to our question earlier, and it just comes down to, in terms of the two issues are, in terms of paying for services that you didn't vote on, if, you know, it happens all around the world. We don't get a vote on things that happen in Sitka. We go there and we pay sales taxes, and we just, you know, if you live in a county area that's got several different cities, you might have different levels of sale taxes that you have to pay as you go and purchase things from city to city, and it's just the nature of having two governments. With the library, it's, again, a very unique situation because we have an agreement that speaks about picking up the costs for the library and sharing those. And that's really the only city entity, I think, that we have that agreement for. In terms of nonprofits, we gave about $375,000 last year to nonprofits, and that includes I think it was roughly $325,000 that went through the Community Agency Funding Committee, and then $50,000 that we gave to Small Business Administration. That comes from a formula, except for the Small Business Administration funding, that comes from a formula that we set up that takes it all from sales tax, which is, I think, 3.24% of the sales tax revenues for the year. That committee meets and people apply. And I think the committee process that we have is it's 2 years. We've piloted the last 2 years. And where it's one of those where not everyone comes out completely, totally happy. I think everyone comes out realizing that it's a relatively fair process. And we're always doing our best to tweak it. And you're right, not everyone agrees in the community that community agencies should be funded by local government. But we have some of these out there that the $10,000 they get from the city is 50 or 60% of their annual budget. And without those, these agencies would not survive or provide the much-needed services that they're able to. And I personally think that this is a very important part of not only our community and helping us build a better community, but it's also a really important part of our economy.
Ms. Zinge?
I think I participated in that committee last year for the nonprofits. I think that it's a good committee. I think that there's some changes that maybe we could make to help it be a little more effective. I agree. There are some nonprofits that I think it's important that we fund. I'd like to look at the levels that we fund them and see if there's a better way that I sometimes feel like we're duplicating some of those services, and it would be nice to take a closer look and have them work together maybe. And I'm sorry, I can't remember. Oh, the library. As far as I know, this is something that's been in place for a while, that there's agreements between the two governments when their projects are set that they're going to pay a certain amount and help cover the cost. And that's really all I know right now. But I do get those questions also from folks saying, why am I paying for this when I never got to vote? And I don't agree that I have to pay that. And I think we need to just do a better job of informing the voters so that they understand why these things are happening. And I think that's a really big part of it, is that we have these two governments and folks are sitting up there, but people themselves don't really understand why that's happening. I'd like to see us do a little better outreach and inform people so that they feel like they have a voice too, and they can come to us and maybe together we can figure something out that works a little bit better for everybody.
Thank you. And one thing I was curious about is, what have you been hearing from voters? What are their primary concerns? And this time we will start, we'll start again with Mr. Coos.
Well, interesting enough, I don't get a whole lot of phone calls from the voters. Occasional one, but you know, a lot of times it's basically cost of the government. You know, why did you do that, or why did the council do that, or whichever way, because we all wear the same hat whenever it gets done. But things that are specific, it's some people are needing a street, they want a street fixed, or it's pretty simple things like that, or why are you arguing with the borough? You know, But to me, it's things that we can all sit down and work out together. But like I say, it's not usually something that I feel that is that serious.
And Ms. Zenge?
Well, I appear at the plaza daily, and being a newbie, as they say, I've been hearing from the voters quite a bit. People want jobs here. They want living wage jobs, and they want to know what we're doing to help that process. With the hospital bond, I had so many people coming in to talk to me about that. And I think that the hospital did a pretty good job of answering those questions and helping the people with that. Folks are talking a lot right now about the government's not getting along. And why isn't there a better way for them to be heard? And I think that, I'm sorry, I think that one of the things I would like to see happen is more outreach in the community, that the folks on council actually take the time to create some sort of form. I mean, I know people can go to the council meetings, but that's not always effective for everybody. And I think getting out in the community and talking with people should be a priority for us. Those are the people who will elect us, and we need to listen to what they want and do everything that we can to help them either understand the decision that's being made or to take their concerns to the table, and we need to do a better job of that.
And Mr. Olson.
Well, in terms of just everyday contact, I mean, I have a young family, so I'm in and out of a lot of different places with my children. You know, you go to the grocery store, and you're always getting stopped, and people are asking questions. But the biggest, by far, question probably over the last year has been the hospital. And, you know, more so than people, I think I've heard from the community about taxes maybe two or three times in terms of a good, solid discussion other than, you know, are you going to lower them or raise them? But the biggest issue out there has been the hospital. And you've got, you know, people who are coming out saying, we got to do that. Do the hospital, do the hospital. And you have the people who are saying no to the hospital. And those are the, you know, you're just talking with everybody. And that's really one of the dominant things. And actually, I apologize. There is one other dominant thing. I've had several discussions with Shoreline residents about when they're going to get water and sewer. And that is something that, again, we have to I've been talking with staff, and it's one of those things that we need to put on our priority list to the state to give ourselves a kickstart. But this season, this year has been dominated by the hospital and its borough residents and city residents alike. And from everyone being concerned about whether we can afford it to people just wondering if we need to build it.
Okay, and I just want to remind our listeners that this is a call-in show, and we have about 12 minutes left. So if you want to get your questions in, you should call now at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And Matt, you kind of sparked a question for me. What about the hospital project and the bonds? Yes or no, and why? And this time we'll start with you.
Well, I can tell you, when we got that $15 million back from the state, while I was very grateful, I was pretty ticked off because we had essentially committed all available funds to this hospital project into phase one, which was a $58 million project. And we were willing to put $38 million up for it. And next thing we know, we have no more room to go. We were at our limit, and we managed to find out that we can afford an extra $5 million. Personally, I mean, this is a tough one. I'm like a lot of people out there in the community, and a lot of the comments I've been hearing from everyone saying, you know, really, do we need to have this hospital? Do we need to have the infrastructure in there for Peace Health to be able to do this? It's, you know, is it really that serious of an issue? To people who have had And, you know, it's just like anything else. You're going to have bad experiences at the accountants. You're going to have bad experiences at school. You're going to have bad experiences at the grocery store. And people have had bad experiences at the hospital. And to the other folks who have had great experiences at the hospital. And it's such a community-wide discussion decision that, I mean, it's everyone is interested in it. And I will admit, it has taken me a long time and to really think about this, because I've had good experiences there, but I've also, quite frankly, had some very poor experiences with Peace Health, and I've been very open about that. At this point, I have to admit, I'm still 50-50. I have been creeping up to that 50-50 from my hell no when the state came back with $15 million to now I'm at 50-50. And it's slowly working its way. And I imagine today I'm at 50-50. I imagine in the next couple of days I'm going to talk myself into it. And it's taking the emotions out of it, taking the personalities out of it, looking at a infrastructure resource for not only our community, but one for our region and the importance that this hospital plays here. The fact that I've come from 0 to 50, I imagine by voting day I'm most likely going to walk in there and vote for it.
Thank you. Mr. Goose?
Yeah, if you had asked me this question 2 years ago, I would probably say, you want how much for what? But today, after listening to everything that's going on and gone through the hospital and had some major employers talk about, I'll say, why they're here and what they look at whenever they come in, and one of them is a good hospital, and recognizing the fact that those operating rooms are probably, 40 or 50 years old, and we do need new ones. And today, there's some issues out there, but I think we need the new building, and we will work through those other issues. Matt mentioned Billings and mentioned some other things and people that had bad experiences. I think get that new hospital in there, then we can start correcting those. Otherwise, we'll figure out how to make a change, and we will correct them. But right now, we need the hospital because I think it means a good source of new businesses coming in and businesses staying here and what we need. So I'm a positive vote on it. We've got to get the building. And I was like Matt when we didn't get that $5 million. I still want to go after it. I mean, that was my push, as you'll recall. Let's ask for the other five, because you never know. If you don't ask for it, you won't get it. So we'll see how those powers that be deal with that extra five.
Thank you. And Ms. Zenge.
I absolutely think we need the hospital. If we're going to attract industry here, we need to have a good hospital. We need a good health care facility. When I first heard how much it was going to cost to build a hospital here, I thought, are you kidding me? I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. That seemed ridiculous. But there's also different construction aspects of this. It costs more to build a hospital because it's a lot more involved. There's 450 jobs there. There's some doctors that are very dedicated. And if we're going to attract good doctors, we need a facility that welcomes them to work there. And right now, I don't think we have that. So I look forward to the hospital.
Oh, and Matt has a comment.
Oh, I just want to add, I mean, the discussion, I think, about the hospital really centers on community health and what is best for the community in terms of our overall health and whether or not you need the hospital building to have that. And I, like I said, once you take the emotion and personalities out of it, I think that, you know, like I said, I'm probably going to walk in there and vote yes. And I think that's what we all have to do, is look at it as what is best for our community, and not what is best for one entity or what is best for one individual, or even for just to bring the, you know, business into the economy. It's what's best for all of us. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And we are pretty much at the end, and we'll let everybody have a chance for a closing statement, and we'll start with Ms. Zenge.
Well, this is such a great process. I'm really enjoying campaigning, meeting the people. I really believe that I can do a good job. I'm a hard worker. Anyone who knows me will tell you that. They come down to the mall, they'll see. I work very hard for my tenants. I spend a lot of time with community members. I just would really like you to trust me with your vote. I really think I can do a good job for the city of Ketchikan.
Thank you. Mr. Olson?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking over my shoulder for my father. You know, wow, trying to sell yourself is just always so, can be nerve-wracking at times. But really, I've been so honored to and privileged to serve in some form of elected position since 2006, first on the school board and then for the last 4.5 years on city council. And I can't tell you how many positive things that we've done. And I think we've managed to work together to do that. And the approach that I take now is the approach that I've always taken. What is best for the community? And what makes it so we have a balanced and stable government, and a balanced and stable one for all of our residents? We have to listen to our residents. We have to listen to the people who call us and talk with us. And then you have to go and make decisions, and you have to be willing to make decisions and have discussion about them. I think those are the strengths I bring to the table. And I think that if you're not willing to do that and put that time and effort in, then it shows. And I think I've shown that we have, that I have that effort and have the time to do it. And the other thing I just want to say is, while I would appreciate your vote, the biggest thing I really want you to do is get out and vote. And I hope everyone does. We had recently, I can't remember if it was this summer or last summer, we had the bond issue about the harbors, and we had 7% turnout. Please, let's push that over 50 or 60%. It would be great to hear from a majority of the community rather than a small minority. So please get out and vote. Again, I hope you vote for me. I've been privileged and honored to serve for you. But mostly just get out and vote. Thank you.
And Mr. Coos.
Yeah, I think probably over the past couple of terms I've had, I've demonstrated what I'm all about. I'm not going to change where I'm going and where I've been. It's still going to be working for the betterment of the community through looking at the budget, looking at the regulations, and trying to make this a better place to live for all of our kids. And like I say, I talked about those two granddaughters. They're going to live here. And that's the whole goal, is to have the economy such that they've got jobs. And right now that's one of our short changes. But it's always been fun doing this. I think some people think you're crazy for doing it, but there's sense of accomplishment, and we have accomplished things. And like I say, I said that as a we, because it is a we. I push pretty hard on things, but in the end, it's all of us together. So I think I've demonstrated that, and I'd ask for your vote. And like Matt said, get out there and vote, because otherwise there's probably 10% of the total population that's making this selection, and we need it bigger than that. So go vote, folks, and vote for the hospital bond.
And that is all for tonight's City Council Candidate Forum. I'd like to thank each of the candidates for participating in tonight's forum, and to those of you who listened and called in. Remember, the election is Tuesday. Good night.